This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Later in this hour, we'll be talking about the uproar over the NSA's telephone data collection, privacy, and the nomination of former NSA Chief General Michael Hayden to head the CIA. We'll also have a remembrance of former heavyweight boxing champ Floyd Patterson, who died earlier today. But our main focus this hour is the subject of humor and politics, and our main guest is former United States Senator Alan Simpson. Senator Simpson apparently just left a meeting with a senior government official rather late, and he's in a cab on his way over here. Joining me here in Studio 3A is NPR political editor Ken Rudin, who has the misfortune of sitting just down the hall from...
I see him.
All right, just Daniel, open that door. Just open the door, Daniel. We're trying to get our intern's attention. And Senator Simpson, come right in and sit down. Thanks very much for coming in, and he's going to shake hands with Ken Rudin. I'm doing play-by-play of a late guest arrival, and Senator Simpson is now putting on his headphones, and we're going to have to ask you now for this is going to be an embarrassing moment in radio for you. Yeah. Can you say Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers?
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
And that's the sound of a microphone being adjusted by our very own Linda Mack.
Through the
we're
rain.
Gonna give everybody... Anyway, let me just explain that politics, as the saying goes, is not beanbag. Any politician can expect attacks, both fair and foul, and needs to learn early that an outraged response will often be seen as evidence of blood in the water. Alan Simpson says, "My shield, my sword, and my armor is a sense of humor." Simpson is a former Republican senator from the state of Wyoming who was back here in Washington to deliver an address to the Library of Congress on the role of humor in politics. He also plans to donate a collection of political jokes that he's gathered over the years, and he's with us today to talk about humor in American politics. And Senator Simpson, thanks very much for being with us here in studio.
It is a treat, and I'm sorry I'm late. I don't want to go into it. There's a torrential rain out there, and it swept away my car. No. But now Rudin is over here. Look at this guy. I knew him when he was out collecting buttons.
I'm still collecting buttons. That's the only reason we invited you. We thought you'd bring some campaign
buttons. People have said
that
I've lost my buttons. But I know you haven't. Anyway, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm sorry to be a little late, but, you know, here I am.
Well, we're appreciative of the effort, and we're well aware of the deluge that's coming down inside, but we need the rain. Anyway, getting back to the subject of humor and politics, this is a serious subject because, you know, politics, as you've said over the past couple of days, is a brutal business.
Yeah, if your whole life is just politics... it's barbaric. You have to have the softening agents of being a collector or loving music or books or theater or something other than politics. And it seems to me that there are people here that have lost their humor. I think you show me a humorless person and I'll show you a guy I can always whip in a debate because they don't know what humor is. And they think that because you use humor that you're not a serious person. With humor, you can open the door, drive a truck through the building and out the other side, and sometimes they'll walk away and say, "Well, I didn't realize that's what he said." And then they're irritated at night when they wake up and think, "God, he ran a whizzer past me because he used humor." But it works. It works. Has to work.
But it can be a two-edged sword.
Oh, yeah. My mother taught me that humor is the universal solvent against the abrasive elements of life and that hatred corrodes the container it's carried in. But what you want to remember that all humor, some of it's very harsh. And I'm not into that. Harsh humor doesn't get a belly laugh. It gets a very shallow laugh, like I better laugh. Like Jay Leno and Letterman often think, how would you feel if this were happening to you, gentlemen? Or you're having a ho-hole about making fun of somebody and their physical attributes or whatever. So I think that's harsh humor, and people, they don't laugh comfortably at that. I like to have the belly laugh kind.
But, Ken Rudin, there has certainly been examples in American politics of somebody telling what they think is a joke and finding themselves all of a sudden hoist on their own petard.
Well, you know, we saw Bob Dole in the 1996 and the 88 campaigns where he would always open up his speeches with a joke, and sometimes it was bitter, sometimes it was cutting, and Bob Dole himself was kind of a bitter man given, you know, what he went through in his career getting up to that point. But once he finished with the jokes, then people were just lost interest in what he had to say. They were thinking, well, did he mean it? Was he mad? Is he angry? So, you know, but then you had people completely humorless besides Alan Simpson, like like Richard Nixon, who was not the funniest guy in the world, but here he is in March of 1968 appearing on Laugh-In saying, "Sock it to me," and people said, whoa, this guy can be really funny.
Mm-hmm. He mentioned Bob Dole. Bob Dole can also be a genuinely funny man, and I know, Senator Simpson, you said that one of the tragedies of his presidential campaign mm-hmm. was that, in fact, his handlers would not unleash that humor.
Well, I thought that was very tragic. I served as his assistant leader for 10 years. He really, I never saw him as a bitter man. I saw him as sometimes maybe what he would think was a joke would not be taken as a joke by the person who he might have named. But I never saw him as pinched. But in his campaign, I finally went to one of the handlers, not Sheila or any of the wonderful people around him every day I was with him, and said, "You're distorting who Bob Dole is. He is a man of good humor, and you're not letting him use it. And look at Udall. He wrote a book, Too Funny to Be President.
Mo Udall, yes.
Yeah, and 100,000, 200,000 votes, and he'd have beaten Carter in that primary. That's how close it was. And he always told that joke on himself. He'd went into the barber shop north in New Hampshire, said, "Hi, I'm Bo Udall running for president." And the barber looked up, said, "Yeah, we're just laughing about that this morning."
So our question to you listeners is, which politicians are good at humor and why? Call us with examples of what worked and what fell flat. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and the email address is talk@npr.org. Ken Rudin, we're going to let you get back to work. But before we
work,
you have to go back to work. But before we do, who's the funniest politician you ever heard?
Well,
present company excluded,
well,
of course.
Well, let me just tell you something. I mean, Alan Simpson will talk about jokes, but he is genuinely fun. I met him on the floor of the Republican convention in 1980. He'd just been elected to the Senate from Wyoming. And I went over to him and I said, "Didn't you used to be Alan Simpson?" And really, I mean, nobody knew him like they know him now. But he's been funny from day one. And he's a treasured friend. And I'm very glad that he's on the
show
today.
We have kept track of each other through the years. It's the strangest thing. I do remember the meeting vividly. And I remember talking about campaign buttons and collections, and I was an autograph collector and a button collector, and I've watched this guy come up through the ranks, and there he is at his post there, at his roost. I knew him when he was just begging for buttons on the
and
street.
And I knew him when he was Alan Simpson.
That's right.
Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor, thanks very much.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Neil.
It.
Thanks.
Ken Rudin willing to pinch hit here very briefly for Senator Alan Simpson.
Political
when he's
editor.
Political editor. Also a political junkie, we also
You're
refer to him
kidding.
From time to time. And you can see his column, his political junkie column, at npr.org.
Oh, wow.
But Alan Simpson, when we think of the word politician, the word funny, at least the word funny, ha-ha, does not necessarily leap to mind. I think everybody who's ever given a speech in public tries to begin it with that sort of perfunctory joke. But after that, you're talking about policies. It's hard to be funny about policy.
Yeah, it is. But if you can blend humor with policy, I know the first time we did an immigration bill on the floor of the Senate, it's an issue filled with emotion, fear, guilt, and racism.
Mm-hmm.
And it is again now. But I remember on the floor of the Senate, we did it with good humor. I think the vote was 83-17. It wasn't a Republican immigration bill or a Democrat immigration bill. There's too much of you know, we don't deal with Democrats or we don't deal with Republicans. That show me people like that, and I'll show you people who aren't legislating and who are often humorless. They're zealots, a zealot being one who, having forgotten his purpose, redoubles his efforts. There are a lot of them around here.
Well, let's get some listeners in on the conversation. The number is 800-989-8255. The email address, again, is talk@npr.org. And let's talk with Matt. Matt's calling from Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
You know who kills me? I never would have guessed in a million years is how funny McCain is. He's on The Daily Show, I think, three times in the past 6 months, and he's quick, he's got a good sense of humor about things, and when they take shots at him, he laughs it off as well.
Mm-hmm. That's, of course, Senator John McCain of Arizona. Mm-hmm.
Former POW, that's the part that kills me.
And didn't kill him, apparently running for president of the United States. Alan Simpson, is John McCain funny in private as well?
He's got a wonderful sense of humor. He's a very dear and special man, and imagine how he's attuned to let things roll off of him with the discipline he had to achieve to live,
mm-hmm.
Just to live and keep himself together. So Yeah, you all humor comes from pain. Now, there's an interesting thing that was taught to me by Danny Kaye, who I knew when he was conducting the Grand Teton Music Festival and breaking his batons and throwing them off in great pieces and chunks. And in the interim, in a wonderful visit with him, he said, "Simpson, all humor comes from pain." And it does. You show me any person who is, quote, funny, and they have come through that. Bob Reich, another example, mm-hmm. Bob Dole, John McCain, Ted Kennedy, all those people, whether you forget their philosophy and all the stuff in their lives, are they people of humor? Do they use it on themselves? Self-deprecating humor is the key. Laughing at yourself, people love that. If you can laugh at yourself and forgive yourself, you're going to live forever.
Matt, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Just in that regard, we have an item from the Chicago Tribune today where Governor Rod Glebojevich was confronted at a speech with students wearing T-shirts that said, wearing an somewhat rude anti-Glebojevich slogan. The governor announced his program and touted its potential. And then he said, he looked at the students wearing the T-shirts and said, "I promise you, if I get a blue one like that, I'll wear it when I go out jogging." And the students quickly handed up a blue T-shirt and posed for pictures with the governor. And again, turning it on himself and and being generous about it. If he'd pouted, which would have been easy for any of us to do, it's a big picture in the paper the next day.
All people want to know, they don't want to know how you're doing in glorious victory. They want to see how you're doing it when you've had a shot in the chops and when you've lost. Are you pouting or are you sucking your thumb? And they want to watch that. And if you're doing that, they lose all respect for it. They want to see the guy that got one right between the eyes and come up for air and say, "I made a mistake," or "I didn't, I wish I hadn't done that." But it's when you try to cover and fake it and, you know, give all sorts of serious gibberish. If you just say, "Hey," I remember Lloyd Benson once, he said, "Boy, when I do a doozy." And that was the end of the event. And that's how you do it. It's a good shunt.
Our guest is former Senator Alan Simpson. We're talking about humor and politics. It's time for a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Robert Reich, former Secretary of Labor in the Clinton administration, and Senator Simpson's former sparring partner at Dine to Time on TV. 800-989-8255 if you'd care to join us. talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking today about political humor and its role in life. Our guest is Alan Simpson, former United States Senator from Wyoming. And, of course, you're invited to join us. 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And this from Siobhan in San Francisco. One of my favorite bits of political humor, though I wasn't happy about the circumstances, was from Bruce Babbitt after he dropped out of the presidential race in 88, and I think that's right. They say the truth shall set you free. Sometimes that happens sooner than you'd like.
He was a good man. I didn't agree with him on public land issues, but he had an ability, obviously, to laugh at himself, and people like that. They do like it.
Let's get a caller on the line. This is Derek. Derek with us from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Oh, boy.
Hi. How are you doing, Al?
Good. How are you, Derek? Good
to hear. Pretty good. My name's Derek Bailey, and my mom, Robin, was your field secretary.
Oh, for heaven's sake. She sure was up in Gillette. You've grown up. What are you doing, in the Marine Corps or something? You were...
No, I'm actually a banker in China.
Oh, well, that's better than being a bookie.
Which I guess could bring me to the coin trick that you used to do for us.
I did that. I was good at it, but my knee is not used to the recoil now. I can't do it as well.
Yeah, Neil, Al used to do this great coin trick for us where he'd flip a silver dollar or half dollar up and then kick it with his heel.
And get it into my pocket.
Wow.
Which was pretty amazing because he's about 6'6" or so.
And that's the silver dollar you kept trying to leave for a tip, and you ended up with it in your pocket every single time.
That's it. It's all scarred and still mine.
So, Derek, this legacy of political humor, you find a lot of fun in the banking business?
It's not quite as funny as that, I guess.
Well, good luck to you. We appreciate it.
Great to hear you. Love to hear your folks.
Good to hear your voice, Al.
Okay, love
to
hear your folks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Humor works, of course, on both sides of the aisle. Robert Reich, former Labor Secretary under the Clinton administration, was well known for his sense of humor, using it to navigate the political bully pulpit. He's now professor of public policy at the University of California at Berkeley and joins us now from the studios at UC Berkeley's School of Journalism. And Professor Reich, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, Neil, how are you today? And Alan Simpson.
Yes, Robert, what is it?
You old friend, you Republican, you conservative, right-wing Republican.
Rascal, you left-wing Kugel.
I don't know how we turn ourselves into these people. But, humor. I mean, when I think of humor, I think of Alan Simpson.
Well, I think
and right-wing demagogue.
And his left-wing goofy guys that hang around Berkeley. I knew finally you'd hit the ancient mecca. You know, Berkeley. I knew you'd get there, Reich.
This is where mainstream America lives, Alan. You have to just get in touch with average Americans here.
To think that Harvard didn't have you far enough left, now you went over clear over there.
I went over to the dark side. But listen, I wanted to tell you how sorry I was about the president's ratings down to 31%. I wept last night when I read the latest.
Do you have Do you have a note that you could personally write that had more meaning than this?
I have already written him many, many, many
Good.
Notes.
But I know you have.
And he'll pay as much attention to this one as he has to all the others, do you suspect?
And I don't. He doesn't write me regularly, indirectly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, one thing I wanted to say, and that was that you and I, on opposite sides of almost every issue, not only do we not see eye to eye, but you are very tall, in fact, obscenely tall. You're 6 foot what?
7.
So you're 6 foot 7.
And you're
and
four,
I am,
10.
I'm 4'10 and a half.
Oh, sure,
so
sure.
Not only do we not see eye to eye on political issues, but we rarely have seen eye to eye ever.
Remember when Galbraith would come to class and you were there and John Kenneth got up and he said, Simpson, I don't see eye to eye on anything until we stand up, because he was 6'8".
That's right.
You two used to do a TV show called The Long and Short of It.
It was a very
I don't know where
popular.
They came up with that name.
It's funny. It's always a stretch for Columbia. Anyway, let's get some more listeners on the line. This is Mike calling us from Angola, Indiana.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Mike. Go ahead, please.
Fun to hear this. I was just relating a story about Bob Dole. When I was a student journalist at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa, we had the opportunity of covering the statewide Lincoln Day event, and all of the presidential contenders were there for the Republican Party, with the exception of Ronald Reagan. And Bob Dole was hilarious. When he was able to get up on stage and talk, I believe he followed George Bush and H.W. And prior to Mr. Bush, there was a large release of balloons and whatnot. And when Dole took the stage, some of the balloons hit the lights and started popping. And he looked up and he said, I think somebody's bubble has just burst. And went on with a number of one-liners before he got into the policy statements that all the hardcore Republicans were there to hear.
So, Bob Dole, another example of his being funny. Thanks very much, Mike, for that.
You're welcome.
And
You know who I think also has a great sense of humor? I don't know if you've already talked about him on this program. And that is Al Gore. He is not known in public to have a great sense of humor. In fact, the joke that he plays on himself very often is that he's kind of wooden. But one-on-one or in a small group, he is one of the funniest people I know.
And I managed to communicate that so brilliantly on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
Now, Reich, I have never heard you say that in all of our intimate dealings that Al Gore had that kind of humor. What is wrong? You are on the vapors.
I'd save it just in case.
Yeah, well, you did.
Guard.
I mean, I just fell off on the floor here.
But
I never saw that.
No, he is not very much. I think he's very good, very, very funny fellow.
Well, he didn't think it was funny when you backed Bradley over him in the primary.
That's true. He didn't laugh about that.
But anyway,
subsequently shared a joke about that.
I see. Well, I don't want to get into your internal struggles within your own party.
But it's also self-deprecating humor, and I think this is something you've talked about.
I never saw that in Al, and if I had, I would have had trouble with him. I I didn't legislate with him. I couldn't figure him out sometimes. There were certain things I never tracked. But if you say that, that's a helpful salve for me.
Well, you should have gone out. Like you and I did, Alan. I mean, we were on opposite sides, but we would go out and have dinner and mm-hmm. just share some jokes. And it just was a kind of a solvent.
Let's get Jerry on the line. Jerry's with us from Rapid City, South Dakota.
Hello.
Hi.
Say, I just wanted to share an experience that we had when I was a mayor of Rapid City a few years ago, and we went to an event in Boston that was the National League of Cities gathering. And this is really super because I didn't know Robert Reich was also going to be on the program, because it involved these two guys you have on the show today. And the very first thing that happened when these guys came out on stage in front of these thousands of small town and large city mayors and council people from all across the United States, Robert Reich goes over behind the podium that has no wooden box behind it, and Simpson goes over and stands up on this wooden box behind the podium, and so Simpson's head's up 10,000 feet in the air, and you can't even see Reich. It was just hilarious. And, I mean, if you want to talk about two guys that this country ought to be proud of, it's Robert Reich and Alan Simpson for the message they gave that day, which talked about Republicans and Democrats ought to work together for the benefit of the country, and we ought to be able to laugh among ourselves and at ourselves. And, you know, that first thing they did just sewed it up. And so my hat's off to you two guys, and I'll never forget Simpson saying that what they say in Wyoming when things start to get better, it's like an old cattle saying, which is, it heals up and hairs over.
Except for Simpson's bald head. That never worked out.
Let me tell you, I remember that day so well because the program coordinator was very officious and trying her or his, I can't remember, desperately to get us. She said, now remember, there's a box by that podium. We walked out silently. I stepped up to his box. I was 20 feet in the air, and you couldn't see Bob, and we never said anything. He just pointed over and just moved his finger like, okay, and gave me the thumb, and I went over to the other one, and we still never said anything. It was spirited.
But in Washington, Alan, I don't know if you had this experience, but I often had the experience that people, they didn't take issues seriously enough, but they took themselves too seriously. And what you ought to have is just the opposite. You need to take issues very seriously, more seriously, but you can't take yourself too seriously, because Washington is just filled with self-important, awful.
Don't you remember my phrase, those who travel the high road of humility in Washington are not bothered by heavy traffic?
Jerry, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate
it. Washington is the kind of city that a friend is somebody who stabs you in the front.
I think it was my wife who said Washington's the sort of town where they put the W for president stickers on the day after the election. So anyway, Ken is with us on the line. Ken from Oakland, California.
Yes, how do you do? Mr. Alan Simpson said a few minutes ago that humor comes from having endured or lived pain. My experience is that humor comes with a person's self-confidence. If you're not self-confident, you can't laugh at yourself. Mm. You don't have humor.
That's an interesting point.
Very true. I sure concur in that one, too.
And that's probably correlated with pain or something. I don't know. But the confidence thing is very important, I think.
Well.
Very good program. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thanks for the call, Ken.
That's an interesting point about self-confidence. But you know, that's the odd thing there again is that Washington, at least superficially, is filled with people who seem to evince a great deal of self-confidence, but they have the thinnest skins I've ever encountered in my life. I mean, you say something that may just be just in satire or in jest, and somebody's hurt and they brood, and then they attack you.
And then they get mad, get even. They got BO, heartburn and gas.
You're on the list.
Right. Revenge is a meal best served cold. Anyway, here's an email we got from Elise in Willow Creek. When Bob Dole showed up on Saturday Night Live shortly after his presidential defeat, he was hysterical. I remember saying to my husband, if I had seen this Bob Dole before the election, I might have voted for him. These days, when I see any politician poking fun at themselves on The Daily Show or The Colbert Report, they really earn another look from me. I will often go search their websites and platforms to see if there was anything else I didn't know about them. And that leads me to ask you both about this. Yes, humor in politics is important, but these days political humor is getting more and more political and sometimes pretty biting, don't you think?
Self-deprecating humor is the most important form of humor there is. If you can make fun of yourself and mean it, I think it's very important politically. People love to have politicians who again can laugh at themselves, and yet on the campaign trail, and I know this because I've been on the trail, and Alan, of course, you have been.
Yep.
It's a little bit hard all the time to poke fun at yourself because you're out there. And, you know, the stakes are high. And if you make a mistake, or if the press takes something out of context, then the press doesn't have the greatest sense of humor either.
No.
Then you might find a joke on yourself in the headlines.
I think part of it really comes from political correctness. I think political correctness is like wearing duct tape over your mouth, because if you really are a person that has bias and hate and bile and a lot of filth running around your head, and pretend that you don't and give a big broad smile and say, I would have never thought that. That's going to find its way to the surface like a fissure through a volcano core. And that's why I think there's a lot of stuff going on in the world about lack of civility. But I remember Bob Reich would get up and he would say, before I went to work for the Clinton administration, I was as tall as Simpson. Well, hell, they just go crazy. You know, and he had 1,000 of those and I have 1,000 of them. And the self-deprecating, but this other stuff is not humor. This is slice 'em up. And slice 'em up humor may get you a laugh, may get you ratings, may get you a lot of stuff. But I tell you, when you go home to bed at night, I wouldn't think you sleep pretty well when you're making fun of persons and their physical attributes and their weight or whatever. And they do that. That's supposed to be ho-ho funny.
Our guest is Alan Simpson, former senator from Wyoming. Also with us, Robert Reich, the former Secretary of Labor under the Clinton administration. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Matt on the line. Matt is also calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming. All your former constituents, Lord, are explaining why.
Why am I here?
Anyway, Matt, go ahead.
I'm here because I'm not all there.
Hello.
Hi, Matt. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello there.
Senator Simpson, I'll never forget when you were giving a eulogy, I guess, at the Governor Herschler's funeral in the Capitol, and you described him as a man who could tell you to go to hell in such a way that you'd enjoy the trip.
Yep. And let it, the record show, Ed was a Democrat. He served with me in the Wyoming legislature. He was a Democrat governor. I was a Republican U.S. senator, and he was one of the closest friends I enjoyed. I was very proud to give the eulogy at his service. That's what we're talking about here.
Matt, thanks very much for calling up with that recollection. Let's go to Patrick. Patrick in St. Joseph. Is this Michigan or Missouri?
It's Michigan.
Okay. There's one in each, but go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I read a couple of biographies about President Abraham Lincoln, and he was known to be quite a storyteller, loved telling jokes. And one of the ones that I thought was real funny was when they used to campaign throughout the country on board the train, he used to ask Mrs. Lincoln to come out to the back of the train where there was that little patio, and he used to say, come on, Mrs. Lincoln, let's go outside and show the folks the long and the short of it.
That's a new joke you guys used, eh, Robert Reich?
Well, I thought we were the first, and I'm kind of upset, actually, that it turns out that that's it was used before. I think that it's not just physical attributes. If you go, one common ceremony today is the roast. And I think that a lot of people who are roastees and roasters it's a little bit tricky because you want to say something that is both funny and satirical, but you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And I don't know, Alan, you whether you've done this, but I've been to some roasts. They've just slightly gone over the edge.
I've seen them go all the way over the edge where the honoree is just smiling with a fixed smile and they can't believe what's going on. I mean, those are very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. They ought to have a trap door behind that lectern, do you figure?
Oh, boy, I tell you, I've been to those. And people are, the whole hole is just shallow. It's not there. I've been to those.
It's hard to roast someone with civility, isn't it, Robert Reich?
I don't think that it's.
You can do it.
Of course you can do it. Yeah. I mean, there is a form of humor and there's a form of jesting that has to do with liking somebody. I mean, I kid with Alan Simpson all the time about his bald head and his gangly, ridiculously tall frame.
Don't go into it any further.
and his Wyoming twang and his all these things that he suffers.
A nasal
suffers.
Twang, it's a sickness of my nose. What are you making fun?
Yeah. But you see, I can do that because it's done with a spirit of affection and friendship. On the other hand, I remember I was at some speech and I was making fun of Newt Gingrich. We were talking about the deficit, and I said, Newt, you know, I can get by on 800 calories a day. I'm a really deficit reducer, and I made some jestful remark about his size, and he did not like it.
Hmm.
And I felt, that may be because the spirit in which it was understood and given was not one of friendship.
Well, thank you both very much for joining us today to illustrate the fact that a sense of humor and promptness do not necessarily go together. Alan Simpson, a former Republican senator from the state
a
of
real
Wyoming,
treat.
And he was
Thank
with
you.
Us here in Studio 3A. Robert Reich with us from University of California at Berkeley, and thanks very much for your time today, sir.
Well, thanks very much.
When we come back,
Thank you.
Who's Got Your Number? We'll be joined by author Patrick Keefe to talk about the NSA and eavesdropping. This is NPR News.